We used to be friends. He just turned it off. Flexibility is a great character quality to obtain. And as I was saying to the two guys here, I've been saying it to all week that heard me, this is something that if you're not flexible, you ain't going to make it. And so I've been able to do some things that they've not done before. We've added a third week. Now, unless you try and go to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. If you want to try that, you can come with us. It's fun. We have a great time. And you get spiritually charged up, I'll tell you, as long as everything goes smooth. Well, right off the bat, what happened, Brother Pollard, he said, my heart just ain't working. The doctor said I can't travel. I'm not going to be able to come. Well, that pokes a big hole in the story, doesn't it? But knowing what I know about flexibility, I said, we'll just handle it. And I thought I had it all handled. And trying to get preachers to preach and to stay is getting more difficult all the time. And today we had a couple guys that were supposed to preach, but I don't know where they are. They're still out missing somewhere, headed for home. That's the last time I think they said. But you know what? The Lord's in control, amen? But in life, we always have difficulties and trials. And down in the summer there, I started on that story there telling you. Met with a bunch of preachers at a restaurant down in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And it was switching. You'd have 1 year and you'd have 1 year. And then they'll go back to this guy and this guy will switch with this guy. And they said, we don't want to do that. We want to have 3 weeks. And so we said, well, that's easy. We'll just have 3 weeks. Well, it's getting more difficult to find people that want to preach for 3 weeks. And so we get people lined up and things happen. People die. I had a young guy. Somebody asked me, why aren't there any young guys? I said, I got a young guy. He's in his mid-30s. I remember when that was old. But he's in his mid-30s. I said, he can preach, grew up in a church that just on fire for the Lord. And he said, I'm coming. He passes a church in Nashville just before he's going to get on the plane almost. Somebody died in his church, and he had to cancel for that. Flexibility is a great character quality to obtain. Trials and problems and things of that nature. And so we just go ahead, that's all. And I've been able to lose every speaker. And I'm bragging about this. I've been able to lose every speaker that was going to speak this week. Nobody's even come close to that. That's a record that I think will never be broken. So what number did I put down? I put down a 10. Flexibility is a great character quality to obtain. I'm still here. And the smoke hasn't settled yet. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Follow as I read the word of God. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Notice the exclamation mark there. I would do him justice. And it came, and it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obstinance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. What a transition's taking place here. Look down in verse 13 with me, if you would. The Word of God says, And there came a messenger to David, saying, The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, and let us flee. For we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. This is a tragedy in the life of King David. We have heard about how he had slain as a young boy great Goliath and the bear and the lion and done great things. But now he's the king. And his own son is taking over his kingdom. A great tragedy. What to do through this trial that the king is facing? He says, we're preparing ourselves and we're fleeing. We're running. Do you know that's what most people try to do when they get in trouble? When they have a trial of life? When they're going through tribulations in their own personal life, they flee. They run. Beloved, let me tell you, there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to flee to. It doesn't matter what's going on. We can look into David's mind and see what he was thinking and the process that David, the king, went through. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm number 3, the third psalm. And here in the third psalm, we can see what David was thinking as his son was taking over the kingdom. And in Psalm 3, we find David in a hopeless situation. When you look at this, and we're not going to take a lot of time to try to build it up and paint a picture or nothing like that in your minds, but if you can figure that your son's coming with some friends and he's going to take your house over, what are you going to do? You're going to kill your son? You're going to fight your son? Or are you just going to do what David did, leave? What would be running through your mind through a difficult time? And so in Psalm 3, we see the David's mindset here in this hopeless situation. It looked like there was no hope in the situation that he found himself in. And by the way, I will guarantee you that you will find yourself in situations where you're just going to say, I don't know what to do. There's no right answer to this. I am in a hopeless position. And that's where David was. And as we look in verse 1 of Psalm 3, David cries out unto the Lord. That's a good thing to do. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Notice the exclamation mark. You ever get there where nothing seems to go right. I mean, just how can this even be happening to me? And he looks and he says, how are they increased that trouble me? They just keep piling on. Do you ever feel like life is just piling on? One problem after another problem after another problem. And then there's always some friend you've got that wants to tell you his problems. His problems are nothing. You go, are you kidding me? I don't think you could find someone in a more hopeless situation than David finds himself in. And we find him complaining before God about this hopeless situation. Many are they that rise up against me. That's just like a parent, isn't it? In denial. He should have said, my son Absalom has driven me from my own kingdom. But he's, I got all these people that are against me. All these problems. Many rise up against me. We see the increase of trouble because of this unruly child, Absalom. Absalom's plan, we know the plan if we've read the Bible. He wants to take his father's kingdom from him, wants to take his father's throne. Verse 2, David says, many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Remember, David was the man who cried out, is there not a cause? I mean, when you think of David, you think of a godly man who is standing for truth and righteousness and fighting the bear and the lion and all that big wig. And you think of that, but now here, as he's gotten older, and I'm not going to say anything about the crowd being a little older or anything, but as we get older, we still go through trials and troubles and tribulations, and we don't have the same response to them. David was a fighter. He stood when all else failed. But now, as he's getting a little older, we just say we're getting more mature. We use that one. That's a good excuse all the time. Well, you know, there was a day when I would have just taken that horn, that bull by the horns, and now I'm mature. No. You're just in a hopeless situation, and you just don't know what to do. There might be somebody here tonight that's in a hopeless situation. Hopelessness is with no, and you're increased in trouble, as David said. Not only that, it's increased in tribulation. I just want to briefly just go over in, you don't have to, but one of the great promises of the Bible, not many people, in John chapter 16 and verse 33, this is one of the great ones. If you're going through trials and troubles and tribulations, that you got to remember in John 16:33. We sing this at Calvary Baptist Church in Fort Erie on Wednesday nights. And 16:33 says this: these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, Jesus, you might have peace. But in the world, ye shall have. Not possibly, maybe. Ye shall have tribulation. That's a great and blessed promise, isn't it? I know a guy, he said, I put every promise down in a blue pen. I said, let me see your Bible. I went to John 16:33. I said, here's a promise right here. I don't see this colored in. He read it. He said, well, who wants to have tribulation? He said, nobody wants to have tribulation, but God promises to have tribulation. It doesn't say you might have, you could have. Watch out for. It says, ye shall have tribulation. A lot of people stop right there. David's at that stop right there. He's increased in trouble, increased in tribulation. He forgot about in this world there is tribulations and trials and everything else. Here in the New Testament, John 16:33, but it says, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." What a great promise that is. But David is still under the cloud of trials and troubles and tribulations. "Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him." Indifferent talk. "God, you should have taken care of this for me." I'm glad the way the psalm is set up here. It's a very psalm, very easy psalm to outline, because there's a rest here at the end of verse 1 of Psalm 3. It's the word Selah. I remember, and can't get this out of my mind, but since it's a southern camp meeting, I heard an old guy going through the Psalms here, and he got to there, and he said in his North Carolinian language, he said, "Selah." He said, "Y'all know what Selah means, don't you? Just means, how about that?" So he says, "In my church," I don't even bother trying to say that difficult word there. That's a big one right there, that Selah. I just say, "How about that?" And you know what? That's about what God was saying to David at this time. As he's complaining and whining and going through everything, God just says, "Well, how about that? Selah." David must have heard God, because in verse 3, we see a great transition. Something as a believer, as a child of God, as a man of God, something that we can find ourselves in is something that looks hopeless. But let me tell you, in this hopeless situation, we are never helpless. Let me say that again. This is a good one.
Amen.
Because hopelessness does not equal helplessness. A lot of people miss out on that. In verse 2, things has changed dramatically. "But thou, O Lord, art my shield, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." I'm glad, as a believer, hopelessness does not equal helplessness. Through all the trials and tribulations and difficulties of life, I'm going to just, a lot of you know, some years ago, I had a daughter-in-law that died in a fire, and a granddaughter that was burnt 65% of her body in a house fire. I'm going to tell you, I never felt so hopeless in my whole life. What do you do? I'll never forget that as long as I live. My wife and I jumped in our truck and we're going with our granddaughter. They flew her over to Children's Hospital in Buffalo, New York. And we went over there. My daughter went to ECMC in Buffalo. My son went there with his wife. We went with our granddaughter, and I went running in there and went running up there, and they had her in this bed and stuff like that, and they were so good. But the feeling of hopelessness, what can you do? Here's a child with 65% of the body burnt. What can you do? And she's 7 years old. And I remember that they were so good at the hospital, they say, "We'll let you come in." And they let me go in there, and I saw that little girl laying out on this gurney. Her nostrils were burnt off, and her hair's all crisp and everything else. And I walked over there, and I'll never forget what the nurse said, "Whatever you do, don't touch her." Do you know how hard that is? You just wanted to just grab her. If I could just hold her. What a terrible, trying time. And as you looked down, her hair was all burnt off her head, her nostrils were singed back, and her shoulders and arms were melted. And you're just thinking, this is a hopeless situation. But I'm glad for Psalm 3, because it teaches us that hopelessness does not equal helplessness. I'm glad that we've got a God who allows us to see through trouble. His grace is sufficient for thee. As we find here in verse number 3, O Lord, art a shield for me. I'm glad we see the protection that comes. When we stop concentrating on the hopelessness and start looking at the helplessness that is not there, because we have total help and comfort through the Lord. And I don't know how people without God even make it. I don't know how they go from day to day. I'm glad I got a shield. But not only is he a shield for protection, also it says here, my glory. I'm glad I have a provider of good things. He gives me the good provisions that I need to continually to be able to go on. I'm glad for the glory of God. And he's a lifter up of mine head. I'm glad that he is able to take care of my personal problems. You know, there's so many self-help groups, books, tapes, TV programs. Well, everybody's got a problem with their head. I like what Bob Jones said. Bob Jones said, you give God your head, he'll comb the kinks out of it for you. That's what you need done. You need the kinks combed out of your head. That's what David's problem was. His head's all fouled up. He just needed to get back and realize that the Lord is the lifter of mine head. He's going to take care of my thinking, my thought process, my personal problems. Through tribulation, God will take care of you. That's a great song, isn't it? God will take care of you. Sometimes we sing these great old hymns that were written during a time of the hymn writer's personal trials and troubles and tribulations. How about the one where the hymn writer said, if I never had a problem, I'd never know what God could do. I think that God has taken David, and he's allowing him to go through some problems just so he can be reminded what he can do. And oftentimes in our lives, you know, I think that you're here tonight on a Friday night. You've already heard three people preach to you today. And you're sitting here for the fourth time. I'm thinking you're a rather mature Christian. Either that or you got lost and the bus stopped out in front. Therefore, I believe that you know that you have gone through some difficult times, or you might be going through difficult times, you might be going through some trials presently. Man, we go through health stuff, personal stuff, family stuff, impeachment stuff. No, all kinds of troubles. Look at verse number 4. This is the key. Once he realized what the Lord could do, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I don't mind praying out loud, do you? When was the last time you just cried out to God? Oh God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for taking me through all the difficult times and the problems. Man, oh man, cry unto the Lord through when you're going through trials and troubles and things. By the way, David's no little puny pukey guy. Now he's a great warrior. He's a king. God just says, I want you to see what David did here. He just cried to me with his voice. And David says, he heard me out of his holy hill. How about that? How about that? You got any problems, any trials, any troubles in your life? When was the last time you cried out unto God and just said, oh God? Like we get a certain age. Everybody you know's got something wrong with them other than their mind. We knew that wasn't very good for quite a while. But we have all kinds of things go on. Cry out unto the Lord. I'm glad the Lord waits for us. Amen. I'm glad he's patient as we go through difficult times of life. But look at the next few verses. He went from a hopeless situation to understanding that hopelessness does not equal helplessness. I'm glad we've got all the help we need. All we have to do is go to him. I want you to see the helped. In verse 5, I laid me down and slept. Oh, ho, 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 ho. How many people lose sleep over the things of this life? How'd you sleep last night? Man, I got so many things bothering me. So many things are going wrong. Let me tell you, you got to take this simple equation in Psalm 3 and apply it to your own heart. The only reason you don't get to sleep is because you're still in a position of hopelessness. You got to understand that hopelessness does not equal helplessness if you're a believer. We got all kinds of help. Just leave it with the Lord. I'm kind of that to my two friends here in the front row. Anything goes wrong or anything, they just say, brother, you take care of it. And they go to sleep. I like when they tell me I'm in control and then they tell me right after, no, you're not. You just had to take care of that. Number one, verse 5, for the Lord sustained me. When you go through a difficult time, I don't care what drug you got. In Canada, we got all kinds of them. They're all legal. You can take just about anything. I think you can suck on tire juice if you want. I don't know. But just about anything. You can smoke it. You can pop it. You can put it in your veins. You can do anything. You rub it on your head, your feet, whatever. I mean, just anything. Because it's going to help you. I got news for you. There's only one help. My help is from the Lord. My help cometh from above, who made heaven and earth. And he, the Lord, he will sustain me. I believe as long as I am right with him. Let me rephrase this. I believe this. I believe I probably have an appointed time with death. I believe that. But I believe that that appointed time can be altered by my behavior. I'm glad I'm not just hopeless. I'm glad I know I have great help in the Lord. And as long as I take all my problems, all my trials, all my tribulations, and I lay them down, I'm going to have good sleep. I'm going to be okay. If you're going through something, let me tell you. David was sustained in rest. In verse number 6, he was satisfied with his circumstances. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me, round about me. You know what he's saying? You come on now. You want to try me? I'll take you all on right now. Before he's running. Now what he's doing? Instead of running away from his problems, he's running at his problems. These guys want to fight? I got news for you. There's a big wig named Goliath one day wanted to tangle with me. Lost his head over it. You'll get that tomorrow. Not only will God sustain you in rest, but He'll satisfy you in your circumstances. What at one time seemed an insurmountable situation now seems something so simple and under control. Verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for Thou hast smitten..." What's that next little three-letter word there? Someone tell me. "All mine enemies." You know, it's amazing how some people don't want God to take away everything. They keep some sin as a pet. I just want this one to stay with me. That way I can take it out every now and then and pet it and feel sorry for myself. There's a transformation taking place here in David's life. I'm secure in my defense. God will. We need to get to the place where God will, Christians. "Oh my God, for Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Remember when you were a little kid? "I'll knock your teeth out." Remember that there? And you're so embarrassed. Remember you lose your front two teeth? Naturally? All your friends are going, "Did that Bobby Jones hit you in the mouth? Knock your teeth out?" He was gonna. Amazes me. I'm secure in my defense. I'm a child of the King. He don't want to mess with me. My God will take care of it. Look at verse 8. Salvation. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. I like this and where it is in the Old Testament. You know what? God's going to take care of me. From the time I got saved till the time I pass on out of here, God's taking care of me. And I'm going to have rest like no other rest. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. How about that? What about that? You ever have any troubles? You ever go through some trials? You ever get where David had a family problem? I think every family has a problem. Most of us do what David did. We run from the problem. Why? It just looks hopeless. But hopelessness never equals helplessness. God will take care of it if you'll just hand it over to Him. We just want to carry our troubles and trials and tribulations with us. If we don't have something wrong with us, we feel like we don't fit in. Fit in where? Because in the Bible, you should be getting rid of your trials and troubles and everything. There's nothing wrong with having a problem. It's how do you deal with your problem? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'm going to tell you something. You are in a hopeless situation. You have no hope. No hope whatsoever. The only way you'll go from no hope to a sure hope is by receiving Christ as your Savior. Amen. There's no reason to go out of here not knowing. Being troubled over whether you're saved or not. You can get that straightened up right now, right here, tonight. And then Christian people. Why do we need Christian psychiatrists? Are those people crazy? All you need is good preaching. That's what you need. You need to read your Bible and pray. When did David's head get right? When he got along with God. Most Christian people I know, their problem is from the neck up. They got to get their head right. Because they let the things of this world bother them way more than they should ever let them. God will sustain us in rest, satisfy us with our circumstances, secure us in defense, and He will save us for eternity. Amen. Now I belong to Jesus, the hymn writer said. The question is, does He belong to you? Even if you're saved, we cause that severance in our mind. We allow troubles and trials to sink in. Let's stand together.